Well, good evening. Hope everybody's having a good time right now. Isn't that anointing just wonderful in here?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. I was talking to Pastor Matthew the other day, and I was reminded of a story about the person from the United States. He went over to England, and he's checking into his hotel, and he's talking to the clerk, and they're going back and forth, and the clerk says, well, the lift is over there. And the guy says, well, no, it's called an elevator. And the clerk says, no, it's a lift. The lift is over there. And I said, listen, I'm from the United States of America. We invented it. It's called an elevator. And the guy says, and I'm from England, and we invented the language, and it's called a lift. I want to talk about a miracle, first of all. Now, normally, I have to leave my house no later than 5 o'clock to get to my office about 50 miles away by 6:30. I've got to be there when the market rings the bell at 6:30. That's my job. Okay. Today, though, Pastor Karen and I had to pray something. I didn't even leave my house until 5:30. I still had to go to the gas station. While I was there, I had to check my oil and the water because it was that time they have to do it. So I was really on the road late. Now, talk about a miracle. Without speeding, I got to my desk at 6:20 this morning. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Which is in Tarzana.
Yep. All the way down there. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about evangelizing. It's not a scary word. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it fun. Anytime you do something, it's fun.
At least with us.
Okay? Okay. First question I've got for you is, I want you to think about something. What if that person you're about to meet, this is the last time they have a chance to receive Christ before something happens to them? What if? We had a friend a while back before the Y2K thing, and he walks up to me and says, Jim, is war going to come down on New Year's Eve? I says, I don't think so. But that's not what matters. What matters is, when will the world come to an end for you? What if somebody gets into a freeway accident? They could be young. Doesn't matter. When does the world end for you? We don't know when that person you're going to meet is going to have the last chance to receive Jesus. This is L.A. Pastor Fred can tell you, there's people out there that do horrible things. Being a perfectly normal person, if you walk by the wrong spot, a gang member shoots a gun off, they don't have a chance to receive Jesus again. Now, the important thing about this is that we don't want that to happen to anybody, believe me. I'm not prophesying that or anything. But I want you to think about what if. I want you to think, well, what if they say no? Then they've said no. It doesn't hurt you in any way, shape, or form. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. Okay? And I want you to think about that. We're going to have some fun. We're going to meet some people. Hey, God bless you. You know, my name is James. Okay? And after a few minutes of conversation, I'm saying, do you know the Lord Jesus? You'll say, the person says no. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Would you like to receive him for all the benefits? And they may say no. And I've had that happen to me. The important thing is that I did my part. You can only control the part that you can do. You can't control their response. God doesn't go against their free will. So when we go out there tomorrow, and it's a training so that you're ready anytime the Lord leads you. You could be at the gas station. And you can say, I want you to go to that person over there and talk to them about me. If you've done it a couple times, no problem to walk up and say, hi, I just want to talk to you for a couple seconds. In a friendly manner. And if you lead them to the Lord, great. If you don't, you've done your job. I believe that everybody here wants to get before Jesus and say, you know what? I believe I went to everybody you asked me to get them to know you. Am I right on that? Okay. So let's have some fun. Relax. If they say no, so what? Some will, some won't. So what? We do our part. The rest is up to God. Fair enough? We're not God. It's not us to convince them into it. That's not our job. Okay? I've seen guys, you got to say this right now. You've got to say this right now. You've got to say this right now. I don't believe that person's saved. If it's not in his heart, he's not saved. He's saying to shut somebody up. Okay? We're not going to do that. This is called friendship evangelism. That they will love our God. Because they see the love of our God in us. Okay? On that note, I turn back over to my beautiful bride.
Amen. Hallelujah. And ABCers are in the right place at the right time and pray Psalm 91 and 23 over ourselves, right? So we're always protected. And the people who may not receive salvation right then, you've either seeded or you've watered, and it's the Lord of the harvest that'll bring them in. So at least we're going out into the fields, okay? The harvest is white, and we're going to do our job to be led by the Spirit. And as we're practicing and as we're growing and becoming better and better in our skill to share the gospel, then the Lord will send someone else to keep watering. The Lord will send someone else to harvest. You just do the best you can do, and God is the one that's in charge, okay? So don't worry about it. Let's just go out and meet some new friends. That's what it's all about. Amen? Okay. Let's do a very quick review for the people who weren't here last Friday or maybe on the internet you didn't get to tune in. But I do encourage you to get the full CD teaching. All you have to do is request it, fill out a form here, or email us if you're on the internet so that you could really get the full teaching, because I'm going to blast through this because we want to get time to practice together, okay? One person's going to pretend that you're not saved and the other one's going to evangelize, and then you're going to switch partners. And remember how you were before you were saved. Don't be so nice, you know, when you're doing the drama part. I remember when someone handed me a track and I wasn't saved, I threw it in the garbage because I didn't want it. I didn't think it was necessary. I'm being honest, you know, and little by little, different people came into my life. And finally, I was able to, you know, see why it was important to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But it didn't happen for me the first shot. Maybe some of you it did, and you got more blessed than I did because I had to go through a lot more problems than you did. Okay. But do you see what I'm saying? So let's try to be realistic when we play our roles and not be too hard though. Okay. Don't be like the worst person ever. Okay. So be a medium kind of person to give the person some hope and a chance. Cause most people are in the middle. Most people in America know who God is, whether or not they choose to worship him. Most atheists used to be a Christian or went to church. That's the stats. Okay. So now in other countries, they may not have heard of Jesus at all. But when we sing God Bless America, I bet you the kids are asking, who's God, right? All right. So at least we still have some people understanding and hearing who God is in this nation, which is a blessing. So let's zip through evangelism part one. The overview: friendship evangelism is not something you do. It is a lifestyle exemplifying who you are in Christ Jesus, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And other quotes that explain how we should share about Jesus as our Lord and Savior is: live your life in such a way that people ask you why. People don't care about what you believe until they believe you care. And preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. A statement attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, meaning we should be exemplifying God at all times in what we do and our behavior as well. Okay, so A, what is friendship evangelism? It's known as a lifestyle evangelism, relational evangelism. The main goal is to befriend an unsaved person and create an opportunity to share the gospel of good news with him or her. And then there's scriptures that you could go through. But my very favorite that I've prayed for years, and that's why I've been able to see over, you know, 60,000 people get saved through my direct efforts or through training other people that I took out or did crusades. And so number six under letter A. And if you pray and ask this of the Lord, he will do the same in your life because God has no favorites. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, Psalm 2:8, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So I'm asking God for the harvest. I, you know, want a seed and I want a water, but I really want to bring someone to Christ, okay? B, the amazing friendship evangelism method. It's something that God gave me. My last name is Mays. So someone said, hey, you're amazing. I said, no, God's amazing. But it's the amazing friendship evangelism method. It includes a sandwich technique. So you want to compliment the person, share the good news of the gospel, and when you end with another compliment, because they're going to remember the last thing that you say, and you want it to be a positive experience for them, okay? You don't want to leave a bad taste in their mouth about Jesus, because then they won't want to seek him afterwards, okay? Remember that if they like you, they'll like your God, okay? Number one is the approach method. Number two is attitude. Number three is assess, discover their challenges. Number four is advocate. Number five is have an adios ending. And adios, many people think, oh, that's just goodbye. But it really means farewell to God, meaning that we're sending you to God when we say goodbye. They're saying in Spanish, we're putting you in God's hands as we leave you in God's care, pointing them to God. So when we leave that meeting with a person, even if you're not evangelizing, any new person, any new stranger, always give them a blessing so they get closer to God or know more about Him because of your presence. Even if it's a stranger and you say, oh, God bless you. And that you don't even know their name. You just walk on. See, it's leading them closer to God, okay? All right, what friendship evangelism is not, basically, when you're on letter C on page two, number two, it's not pushy or mechanical. We don't want to shove the gospel down someone's throat like giving them a spoonful of cod liver. Ugh. I don't know if you like that, but I don't. Anyway, recommendation, endeavor to be a soul winner because it's one of the main reasons why we serve Jesus. He saved you, so go out there and save others also. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. So when I get in front of God, I want to be able to say, I have shared Jesus with others because you saved me. I want others to see the good things that you've done for me. Amen. So let's go to part two, friendship evangelism, part two overview. Friendship evangelism is also sharing your love for God with others, giving testimonies, and praising God for the good things Jesus Christ has done for you and your family. A, sharing your love for God with the Romans road to salvation. Like John 3:16 tells us why we're doing this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17 as well. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Okay, so when we present the gospel, we want to be non-offensive. Because let's go to, you could write this down or go there, Proverbs 18:19. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions separate them like bars of a castle. So if people are at war and they're trying to take down a strong fortress, it's tough, right? And so like when the Romans were trying to get through Masada, it took them months and months and months, right? So if we offend someone, guess what's going to happen? They're going to harden their heart, and then God's going to have to jackhammer that thing and send a lot more people in there to get to them. But he will. But still, you know, if we are aware that we're going to go in and be a friend, already the ice is broken. Make sense? Okay. And they sense that. People know that. People know someone has agenda. Someone's scoping them out. Hi, my name is Karen. Are you saved? Because if not, you're going to hell. Now, would that person really want to talk to me? All right, so number one, under A, the Romans road to salvation is an easy way that explains the good news of the gospel of salvation using verses from the book of Romans. It is a simple yet powerful method of which shows why we need salvation, who provided salvation through Jesus Christ, how we can receive salvation, what are the results of salvation. All the scriptures in Romans are from the New King James Version, because it's easier to minister to others than using the King James Version, which is the Old English, not conversational English. And I'm sorry if you're from Britain, but, you know, hey, let's talk conversational, okay? And we'll leave the these and thous at home. But that's the best Bible to study because we want to know more of the truth of the word. But this is not the place for it, okay? And I know you're going to be shocked, but write this in big letters right there. Do not bring your Bible. Write it down. I'm serious. Do not bring your Bible. If you show up with a Bible, we're putting it in the car. Because if they see you, can I borrow this? If they see you coming with a big honking Bible, guess what? You already put the ice up. They already put the defense walls up. Yeah, the demon's like, ah! Yeah, so we are going to make friends. And how many of you have gotten saved? And if your hand's not up, I will come talk to you personally after church. Okay? And see, it wasn't about someone coming and shoving a Bible in your face, was it? Anybody? Was it? Was it the love of God that brought you to Him? Was it something about the goodness of our Jesus that convinced you that you needed someone higher than yourself to help you and to show you how beautiful you are and He loves you just the way you are? That's the kind of God I want to share. We're going to go share our testimonies, okay? That's what we're going to be doing. And most people make this big theological whatever. Keep those concordances at home, okay? As well as the Bible. Because you know Jesus. And as much as you know Him, you're going to share what you know. That's it. Okay? Real easy. All right. So, 1A. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. You could take this paper, both these papers, that's why I have them. If you need to refer to them as a sheet to share, that's okay. If you really get in a conversation and think you need them. But most of you know these scriptures without having to pull out the Bible. You could just share what it says. You could share, hey, where it comes from in the Bible. And if you don't remember where it comes from the Bible, as long as you remember what it says, that's what matters. Because in conversation, I don't stop my mom every time I'm giving her a scripture and say, well, let me look that up when I'm praying with her, right? We just pray it, let it come from our hearts, right? This is what we're going to be doing. But I want you to study these so you can refer to these when you're out there because they're easy, they're short, they're sweet, they're to the point. And if you really need your paper, you could read it, but most of you probably won't need it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. C, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. These are all things that you could share with people. D, of course, is the most important, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10. For me, I don't believe that someone is saved unless they do this process. I know there's other churches who bank on other scriptures, and you know, I believe God honors that, but this is the one that I really, you know, believe is our insurance, okay, for salvation. E. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved, Romans 10:13. And if someone is a hard cookie to crack, but I knew I got through to that person and they just weren't ready to pray, but they really listened, I will say to them, when you're ready, call on the name of Jesus and say, help me and save me. If that's all you have time to do, 2 seconds, just do it. You know, I don't pray that anyone would die, but you know, people who don't know the Lord, I say, if it's on your deathbed and no one is around, these words will ring in your ears. Call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Just say, Jesus, help me. Or just Jesus. I usually leave that with everyone I walk away with. From. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. And G, there is therefore now no condemnation those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, Romans 8:1. H, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, another translation says, nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come, another translation says, or things of the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:38-39. Ask if he or she would like to follow the Romans road to salvation. If yes, then tell him or her, a simple prayer can ensure his or her salvation and use the ABC salvation prayer sheet. Let's go to that salvation prayer sheet. Now, most of you know this, And you could, if they're in a hurry, you could do a summarized version of this. But this really takes a very short time, but it's very complete, okay? So if they want you to pray, then say, would you please repeat this prayer after me out loud? And if you're in a public place, say you could whisper, but it needs to be spoken, okay? If you don't want to attract attention and, you know, be in a corner of a store when no one can really be disturbed. And just have them repeat the prayers. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, and wait so that they say it. And don't say three sentences. They're not going to remember that. Just go sentence by sentence because it's easier to remember short things. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. They'll say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus came to earth and died for me on the cross and shed his blood for my salvation. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended on high. I believe in you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And you are coming back again to earth to reign as my king. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive my sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if I confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness with the precious blood of Jesus. I repent for all my sins, especially the sin of not accepting you, Jesus. So please come into my heart and give me eternal salvation right now. I give you my heart and my life. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the legal right of Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits, and they can no longer influence my life. I bind Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits, and they can no longer affect me or anything that concerns me, like my body, health, my finances, my family. I break off demonic attachments of Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits, soul ties, curses, word curses, words I spoke over myself that may not have lined up with the word of God, covenants, contracts, hooks, holes, connections to evil, any kinds. ABC Healing School people, do you recognize this prayer? My sins have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus. I come under the protection of the precious blood of Jesus. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fall fresh upon me now, for I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, my God and eternal King. I am yours forever, God, and I will serve you and follow you all the rest of my days. From this moment on, I belong to Jesus. I no longer belong to this world nor to the enemy of my soul. Thank you, God, for making me born again. Now, if they're in a rush, you know how to do the summary version, right? Okay, summary version would be something like this. This is where you get to ad lib, okay? Say, I've got 2 seconds to get to work, but I really want to pray this. Okay, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sin. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, that I'm born again. Now, go to church. You know, let me give you a suggestion where. So you can, you know, make it your own, okay, as needed. This is the long version, and you could make the short versions as, you know, you see that it's necessary, okay? So the Holy Spirit will give you license to do that and show you how to do those summary things, okay? All right, and now let's go to B, giving your testimony. What's not on here is Revelation 12, 10 through 11. So let's go there, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. You could write that down. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Why is your testimony so important? Okay. Then I heard a strong voice in heaven saying, Now it has come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom, the dominion and the reign of our God and the power, the sovereignty, the authority of his Christ, the Messiah. That's who you are in Christ, all these things, okay? So you can do it. You can do all this. Of his Christ, the Messiah, for the accuser of our brethren, he who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night, has been what? Whew, cast out. And so that's going to be happening, praise the Lord. And they have overcome or conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance or word of their testimony, for they did not love and cling to life even when they faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. That your testimony is very powerful. It takes authority over the enemy. It gives credence to verify that God has done something in your life, and stories are what people want to hear that are true. And then it shows them that they can overcome too. Oh, that rhymed. I like that. Okay. So see, give your story. It's important. So number one under B, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason or asks to account for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And the definition of fear doesn't mean afraid there. It means to show them courteously and respectfully, like Pastor James said, okay? And it means fear of offending them is what it means. Don't offend them, all right? 1 Peter 3:15. So, and you guys are all lovely people. None of you are going to be offending anybody. Number two, tell the subject that you were born again and a brief story of how you accepted Jesus. A, Jesus answered, "More assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born in the flesh is flesh, and that which is born in the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell." We're reading from John 3, 5 through 8. Flip the page to page 2. "Where it comes from and where it goes, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now let's go to letter C. Praising God for the good things, we become disciples of Jesus. That's a good thing, right? Number one, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Not every Christian is a disciple. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So the Christians who get set free are the ones who become disciples. John 31 through 32. And that's what we want to do. We want them to become a disciple after they get saved. And we're going to lead them to a church where they could hear more about the word. Okay, letter D. Before sharing the gospel with others, be prayed up. And in healing school, we have a sheet called Spiritual Warfare for Your Family. Very important to use over your family and friends. And you can pray this over people if you know you're going to be sharing the gospel ahead of time. But we assume that you already have that, a lot of you. If you not ask for it or email us. Number one, say your morning prayer. Number two, establish the kingdom of God, the KOG prayer. Semester two's graduates know what that is. If you don't know these things yet, don't worry. You'll be learning some of these. Just do the ones you do know. Number three, do your three witness prayer for semester three graduates. Number four, confess your sins frequently, even while you're out evangelizing or during your day, at least every half an hour to an hour. Pastor Joshua does it every 15 minutes. Because it then keeps you under the anointing of God. And without the anointing, we can't break yokes of bondage, right? So CRR or RRB, and activate Psalms 91 and 23 over yourself and everyone you're going to be ministering to. Okay? And then we're going to go to Exodus 33:19 in the Amplified. That's not on your sheet, so you could write that down. Exodus 33:19. "And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. And for I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show" what? "Mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness." Ask God to show mercy and loving kindness on the people that you're going to be ministering to, okay? Then the other thing that you're going to be praying is Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. I'm going to read that to the Amplified as well. So you're going to, in addition to the warfare prayer, you're going to be, that ABC has, you're going to make sure that you focus on these. I find that it's very effective every time I do this. Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. "For I always pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, into the deep and intimate knowledge of him." So I would pray it this way. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever I'm ministering to today, that you would show themselves, because you are God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, you may grant unto them and me as I minister a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but show them the insight of the mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of their heart flooded with light, so that that person I'm going to be speaking to will know and understand the hope to which you, Jesus, have called them, and how rich is your glorious inheritance for the saints, your set apart ones. See what I'm saying? Okay, and then, so then they'll have revelation. So you're already planting those seeds and watering before you go in. Ezekiel 11:19, Amplified. Write that down. That's not on your sheet either. Ezekiel 11:19. And it says, "I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God." So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, change their hardened heart to a heart of flesh, where they will be sensitive and responsive to your touch, God. When I go out there, use me. Okay? So those are some good things that will help you. And then we're going to zip through the rest of it with Pastor James on the workshop part. As he's doing that, before we get into the workshop, those of you that who have not signed up yet, I'm going to pass around this clipboard. If you have signed up, make sure you put your cell phone. And if you have some evangelism experience, what is it? None, some, or much beside your name, so that we know how to group you. We don't want to put two novices together, okay? And those of you that sign up, Pastor James and I will work with you personally tonight to get you ready for tomorrow. The others, we will have opportunity, but I'm going to ask Pastor Joshua, Pastor Sarah, and Pastor Matthew to work with everybody else and to, you know, monitor and oversee that you guys are doing a good job. But we personally want to work with the teams that are going out because we have some instructions for tomorrow as well. Not that we have favorites. We'll work with all the rest of you another time, okay? All right, so let's pass this around while Pastor James is doing the rest of this training, okay?
Okay, praise the Lord. Friendship evangelism. It's always recommended that women approach women and men approach other men. Okay, that's obvious. Okay. But there are times when that doesn't work out. So you have to be respectful if you're walking up to a member of the opposite sex. Yeah, I worked in a place one time, and there was this very, very attractive female. And she couldn't figure out why. She didn't dress provocative, but she couldn't make a lot of sales. And I don't want to phrase this. She didn't seem like the kind of person who would take a lot of suggestions. So I waited. And one day she said, I just don't understand why I'm not making enough sales. I said, you're on the wrong side. What are you talking about? I said, well, when you're standing there, do not stand next to the husband, stand next to the wife. Put her between you and the husband. Because if you're on the other side of the husband, that wife is going to be thinking something. Whether it's true or not, she's going to be wondering in the back of her mind. But if she's the barrier, she feels safe. When she feels safe, she'll buy from you. Besides, most women do the buying anyway. Focus your attention on her anyway. And her sales went through the roof. She was very happy about that. But the bottom line is you have to show respect. You have to always be in a public place. You can meet in a restaurant, you know. In my line of work in the brokerage business, there are female wholesalers who come and tell us things. And if I meet with one in a restaurant, my wife knows I'm going to be at XYZ restaurant at noon with so-and-so a person. So if somebody says, hey, I saw Jim with this woman, she's going to know about it. There's no surprises there at all, okay? But we just protect our reputations. It's either an open area that we can talk privately, restaurant, you know, glass windows all around, never behind closed doors, okay? Use a sandwich method to make people feel comfortable in building a trusting relationship, okay? Sandwich method is a compliment. Then you get to the meat of your message. Another compliment on the way out. Always not being offensive. Very, very easy to do. We'll explain that and show that and demonstrate that a little bit more. Key question of something that's obvious concerning the subject gets them talking. Now, man, we've got a real advantage tomorrow. There's a game on Sunday. Okay? 99% of the people out there know about this game. Okay? If the guy is wearing a Seahawks shirt, say, do you really think the Seahawks are going to have a chance against the Patriots? You'll have a conversation going. Okay? It's easy. Okay? Just start up with it. Don't take an offensive side. Say, I hope they win or whatever, you know, and go from there. So we have an advantage. Women, you can always talk to ladies about their clothing. You know, my goodness, those are nice shoes. Where'd you get those at? I've never, ever, ever known a woman who didn't like a compliment about her shoes. Am I right, ladies? Am I right? Right, Christina? Christina's known as the shoe girl because she likes shoes a lot. She likes really cute shoes. Okay. Keep them engaged in something they're interested in. Get to the meat of your message, and we'll go on from there. Always keep your eyes open when praying, though. Okay. You don't know that person. They could be highly demonized. Am I right? Do the demons want that person receiving Christ? No. So keep your eyes open. A demon will take advantage of a situation, but demons are basically cowards, okay? If they know you're ready for them, they probably won't do anything. Is that fair enough to say? Keep your eyes open. Just look at them. Besides, you want to look in their eyes. You want to see the joy come into them, you know? And what does they say? That the angels rejoice in heaven when somebody receives Jesus, okay? We're believing a lot of angels are going to be rejoicing tomorrow. Amen?
You always keep your eyes open whenever you minister. Always. Because you also want to see when the Holy Spirit's touching them. If they start to cry and tear up, their heart's being softened, right? When they start to smile, if they told you they were in excruciating pain, you know the pain is being alleviated. You can see the prayer working. You don't want to miss that either, right? Okay, so that's very important. You want to keep their dignity at all times when you speak to somebody. Do not embarrass someone in a public place, because then they'll just clam up. So talk to them somewhere where it's going to be comfortable. I don't recommend that you talk to people in a restaurant, because they came to eat and get out. And the restaurant owner, you know, needs to turn that table for the other people standing in line. You see what I'm saying? But if you see somebody sitting outside of a Starbucks, just reading a book or whatever, and the Lord leads you to go up, you know that's their leisure time. Do you see the difference? Now, we need to pray for a lot of you ladies going out tomorrow, because if we go into the shops, we don't want a demon of distraction when you see sale. Guys, pray for us that we will stay focused, okay, on our goal, but you'll know where to go back to when you're done, right? Okay, that's important. All right, praise the Lord. So, I think that clipboard is getting around the room. That's good. So, like Pastor James says, to strike up a conversation, it is to identify something that they want to talk about. Psychologists have discovered that people enjoy talking about themselves more than anyone else. So see, he gave you an example of how to get them talking about a subject, because he knows they like the Seahawks. They're wearing a t-shirt. Or like, say, if they have a little puppy dog on a leash, say, "What's your puppy's name?" They're going to want to talk about their cute puppy or their animal or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So ask questions that you know that they will start to answer, not just with a yes or no. Don't ask them a yes or no question, because that's all you're going to get from them. Is your puppy a female? Yes. Then it's silence and then it's uncomfortable. Do you see the difference? Okay. All right. And so... you ask the Holy Spirit, who should I go talk to? Because there's a sea of faces out there. And you might just be walking around and just very quietly praying in tongues, you know, very quietly so no one hears you. Oh, hi, hi. Just start saying hi to people. And people that respond to you and look at you in the eye, good clue. They're not afraid of talking to people. See? Or you see somebody sitting down and they look really depressed and the Lord just keeps bringing you to that person, keeps bringing you to that person. Gee, you know, I'm not going to go up and say, "Hey, are you depressed?" They're not going to admit it, number one, you know. But again, find something you can identify with. "Oh, those are nice shoes. Did you buy them around here? I might be interested in looking for a pair similar to that." That's not a yes or no answer, is it? They have to answer you something. And they'll, you know, see, start to come out of the shell. Why? Because we are going to pray tonight. I've already prayed. I already went around the whole mall praying. The Lord showed me where we should go. I had so much on my plate to do today. Something came up that it wasn't on my plan this week that I had to go do to get ready for tomorrow. And I had to get a letter mailed out because of a timeline. And the Lord said, "Go to the mall and go pray over it." I was praying over the internet. I saw the virtual pictures on the mall of the mall on the internet. He goes, "No, go to the mall." I'm like, "Oh, okay, I have to go to the mall," you know, old school way. And he rewarded me because I was obedient. And then I was hungry. So I saw Carl's Jr. and I said, "Oh, that natural burger. I'm going to go get that one." I went in the wrong parking lot because I didn't know where that drive-thru was. And the Lord says, "Go over there. Go closer to the main door of Carl's Jr." I'm like, "Does he want me to go in Carl's Jr.?" And I drive over, and now I could see some more cars. And there is a postman's truck in front of Carl's Jr. and the postman's outside of his truck talking on the cell phone. And I wind down my window. I say, hey, would you mind taking this letter for me? I was on my way to the post office. That cut my time by 30 to 40 minutes so I can get other things accomplished today. Because when you're on a mission for God and you do what he says, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and he'll take care of everything else. He'll add unto you, right? So that was a God thing. And if I didn't obey and keep driving closer, I wouldn't have gone past the cars to see that mail guy over there. So see, no matter what you're sacrificing and putting aside tomorrow, because you're obedient to God, he'll take care of it for you. I don't know how, but I know sometimes it seems like there's not enough time in the day to accomplish all our goals, but he's going to do it because you're doing his business. He'll take care of your business. Amen? Okay, so remember when I taught the spiritual gifts? That means you're ready now. Because when you evangelize, the gifts are activated. It's going to be exciting. Okay, so we're going to be meeting at 1:30 at a location that I'll show you on a sheet. And then we're going to be carpooling together. We'll have group prayer. We'll go to the mall and we need your cell phones and you need ours because we need to communicate and stay together. If you feel led to go off on your own, it is not God telling you that. Because this is a group training ministry, God would not tell you to submit to the leaders and do your own thing. Okay? So that's nobody in this church. I was telling you what happened in other churches. I know you people here, you know, follow instructions very well. Okay? But we just have to say that as a carte blanche thing. Anyway, the leader is the one in charge. And if there is an idea that you're getting that might be different, then don't speak in front of the person, but be interceding that God shows that person, but don't interrupt that leader. Because normally that's the most diplomatic thing to do. Then after, if there's a break in the conversation, you could say to the leader, could I talk to you for a minute? And say, oh, excuse me, just a minute. You know, the Lord's showing me that, you know, there's this vision I had, or I'm sensing that they, you know, might need prayer for their daughter or something. Can we find out if they even have a daughter? And the leader will pray and discern whether or not they want to share that. Okay, but we do want to get input, but we want to work through that leader. Because the next time when God makes you the leader, you'd want other people to also be following your lead. And then we want to help, though, and give the input, but in a very appropriate manner. Okay, so I think that's good teamwork. And then when you're praying for people, remember on last week I told you, see if they do want you to pray. Say, well, could I take your hand while we pray? Or could I put my hand on your shoulder while we pray? Get permission. No, don't touch me. That's okay. I'm just going to put my hand close to you so that you would feel the presence of God as I'm praying for you. Okay? So and don't be offended. Remember, they're not rejecting you. Okay? All right. So now let's break up into groups. Now use your approach. Remember, that's why I have you have those sheets. The approach, what is it? You're going to compliment, share the good news of the gospel and compliment. Boldly initiate the conversation. Read your sheet through again on part one to remind yourself of the amazing methods. Approach, attitude, assess, advocate, five, your adios ending, okay? And always ending with a compliment, right? And you can use your sheet while you're practicing today, okay? That's perfectly fine. That's what we're doing, all right? So everybody have a partner? The person on the right is going to be the evangelist, and the person on the left is going to be the unsaved person. Thank you for paying attention, okay?
Well, wasn't that great? Thank you, Pastors James and Karen. That was very, very productive and very, very well done. Karen and James are very, very good at this kind of evangelism. But there's some comments I want to make. One is, it's very likely that people, or some of the people, will say, well, where do you go to church? So your answer would be, well, Our church is not right around here, and we're working with two local churches here. We're sending people to two local churches. So you try to evade the question by saying, our church is not right around here. But there are two churches right in this vicinity, one for Spanish-speaking and one for English-speaking. That's the first way you try to avoid it. If they come back with a question, you can't evade it twice. So come back with a question, you say, our church is local. And then they'll say, but that's not so far. Say, yeah, but the problem is our church is not looking for new people at this point in time. We're a small church, and we are filled up. We have what we need at this point in time. Okay? Words to that effect. Now, why do we not want them to come here? Karen mentioned some of the reasons. Facilities. We're not geared towards family with kids, etc. But one of the fundamental reasons is this. We're not geared towards training up young believers. Our ministry is not geared towards that. Our ministry is geared toward discipling mature believers. The closest thing we have to discipling young believers is the Bible college. It's a one-year Bible college, which is actually quite advanced. So we have no first-time believer classes here. We have nobody who has the time to do that. So bringing them here would not be the best thing for them and would not be the best thing for us because it would dilute what God has called us to do. Okay? Now, some of the people you'll find will have challenges with demons. Some you'll find will have challenges with finances. Some will have challenges with healing. And you might be tempted to bring them here so we can get them healed. Again, send them to these other two churches. Those churches teach everything that has to do with they teach people how to get healed. They teach people how to have their needs met. They teach good fundamentals. So there are many reasons why you should recommend it to these two churches. Another point I want to make out is Pastor Karen pointed out a summary on the prayer. You all know the summary. There's 6 steps of asking Jesus into your heart, into your life. There's, of course, also a summary on the Roman road. And you know what the summary is. You just, you know. The summary is basically what you're going to repeat in the prayer. You know, we've all sinned. God sent his son to pay for our sins. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. If you believe that, then your spirit is recreated. Just a simple summary, which you all know. Third thing I want to mention is you'll probably come across a lot of people going to church, very denominationally oriented. And for some reason, they think going to church gets them saved. And so you want to deal with that. Just because they've been going to church for 20 years or their family has been in the church for 3 generations doesn't mean they're saved. So how you handle that very easily is, you know, so you've been going to this church all this time, yeah. So you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, yes, and you died on the cross. You go through the steps and ask all the questions, and the person says yes to all of them because they believe that. You say, well, that's all wonderful and good. It sounds to me like you're probably saved. Certainly you've confessed everything. But the Bible says that unless you're born again, you must be born again. And then you explain to them about the fact that you're a spirit. And here on earth, you're wearing an earth suit. Just as when you go into outer space, you wear a space suit. Come to earth, spirit man wears an earth suit. And when you say that prayer, your spirit man is recreated. The earth suit may not change immediately, but the spirit man changes. And that, for a lot of denominational people, is a new way of viewing it. And then they will say, okay, let's say the prayer. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Let's see, what else I want to say. Tomorrow, Sunday being the Super Bowl, you might want to keep in mind that the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks quarterback is a born-again believer, and the LA Times, across the country, have been talking about the miracles that happened in that last game when Seattle played. It's a great way to transition from football into talking about God. All the miracles that happened in the game, as called miracles by the secular newspapers. That's what I would do anyway.